Hello, my name is Bruno Mark. You're listening to Type Radio. Now we're talking...
TypeRadio.org.
Do you think there are too little fonts? Not too...
You can never have enough fonts, you know. Like, you can never have enough different flavors of vanilla ice cream, you know, absolutely. It's about individual tastes, you know. And, you know, one person likes it a little bit sweeter, the other person like maybe a little bit more sour or whatever. And it's the same thing with fonts. You know, it's like some people can't see the difference between, even graphic designers, between Universe and Helvetica, you know. Okay, you can't help these people, you know. But, you know, but for example, you know, like with fonts, you know, I don't like Helvetica, I like Universe. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Helvetica could just disappear off the world and it would be a better place, you know. So therefore you can always create more fonts, you know. I think absolutely, you know.
Vincent Conari,
yes,
did the Comic Sans, works at your company.
Indeed.
Why do you think that it's this typeface is so much disliked, that there is dedicated websites against it? I mean, yeah. I've never seen so much.
Oh, in fact, he actually gets hate mails.
He does. From
yes.
who? Like
from weirdos, you know. Yeah. He gets hate mails, you know. And you, as you say, there's websites dedicated to him and his evilness, you know. I don't know why people have such a go at, but it's mostly graphic designers, you know. Yeah. And I think it comes from the fact that it is overused, you know. I mean, we've got to be clear about that. Comic Sans, if you just look at it as a typeface, it's actually a good typeface, you know. If you take it out of the context of, like, all the wrong usages and everything, as a piece of work, it's perfectly sound, it's good, you know. But because
what would be the right usage for Comic Sans then, in your opinion?
I think, you know, sort of like informal little things, maybe a little informal party flyer or something like that for your kids' birthday party, that kind of thing. But obviously once it gets onto a cash machine, you know, that is wrong. That is just plain wrong, you know. And that's what the wrong usages is. But I think Comic Sans has its place, you know. You could even say, okay, maybe like in a company and like for internal memos, you know, because it's soft, it's friendly, it's cuddly, and all that kind of stuff, and people like that, you know, and it's informal, you know, and I think that's what people like, and I think for that is the right usage, you know. I think graphic designers hate it, and the sheer thought of Comic Sans, because most graphic designers cannot cope with the organic form, you know.
But maybe it has to do with the name. I think that's its downfall, is the name. If you named it
probably
something
as
else.
Well. Yes, probably as well, you know. And well, the name says it all, really,
yeah.
You know. And I think, you know, it goes against every professional grain that people have.
And isn't it also like a sort of, because it is on the Windows, It's one of theirs, and that sort of
yes.
the antipathy and the non-functionality of the Windows system makes people sort of put their aggression into that.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with that as well, you know. And Vinny has, you know, many times explained, you know, that actually Comic Sans should never have ended up on Windows, and that was a sheer mistake, you know. You know, it's there now and it's here to stay, you know, forever. Comic Sans is the most used font in the world, you know. You see it everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And in a sense, if you take that, you know, it's probably the most successful font as well, you know. And obviously there must be something wrong with it, otherwise people wouldn't be using it. You know, otherwise everyone would use Arial, yeah. You know, if it were that good. Yeah.
That's true. Do you think that... typography will become more specialized, that it will, or will it become more accessible to the general public?
I think typography, even amongst design professionals and type design and typography, is still viewed a little bit as a black art, you know, a bit black magic kind of thing. You know, it's something that, because it's so pared down, it's so stripped down, you know, to basic elements, black and white, straight, curved, diagonal, you know, that I think for a lot of people it's still mysterious and they can't quite handle it, you know. But on the other hand, you know, typography, particularly with the advent of of the personal computer, it has become more accessible to the general public. I mean, if you nowadays say font, you know, everyone will know what you're talking about. You know, whereas 15 years ago, you said I'm a font designer or a type designer, people would just look at you blankly, no idea. You know, and I think from that point of view, yes, typography has become more accessible. You know, but there is a little bit of a common terminology about, you know, but when you start talking about applied typography, say typographic detail and just simple little things, you know, that when you use an apostrophe, you know, don't use the straight one because that's typographically wrong. And, you know, I have told people and they think I'm weird, you know, but again, it comes down to detail. And I explain to them that it is grammatically wrong as well. This is about bad language, you know, and here we come back, you know, typography being about communication. It's grammatically wrong to use the wrong apostrophe, you know, or you don't use the ampersand in every situation. There's only one use where you use the ampersand, and that's that, you know. I mean, that kind of level of detail and microtypography, you know, that will never go or will never be accessible, you know, to the vast majority or to the common populace, if you want, you know. I don't think so, you know, but generally, I think, you know, if I talk to people, I mean, particularly in my work as a type designer, you know, creating custom fonts for companies, obviously always the question is, particularly from the finance guy, and says, like, why do I have to spend so much money, you know, for you to design me a font if I can have Arial, you know? And I usually say, why do you drive a £100,000 BMW when you could have a Lada, you know?
That's a great answer.
You know, and but you know, I explained to them that you may not see the difference between what I do and Arial, you know, but you will feel the difference. It's an emotional response you have, you know, and you talk to lay people about that, and they can't tell you the detail, you know, the difference, say, between a Frutica and a Helvetica. They can't tell you the difference, but they tell you it feels different. One feels warmer, the other one feels a little bit more mechanical, and from that point of view, typography has become more accessible because it's out there more.
Is God?
And do you use that when you talk to the lay people?
I do.
Do you use that in your business? Like, you adapt that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I do think when, particularly, say, you know, if I do the sales pitch, say, to a company director, you know, you have to be obviously very professional, but you cannot, you know, start talking in professional terms. You have to come right down to, in a common denominator to which that person can relate to, you know, and they can relate to the emotions, you know, they can relate to things where you can draw a comparison, you know, maybe something out of their own daily lives, you know. That's when they can start relate to it and they can think, yeah, I can buy into that, you know, I understand that, you know. And quite often it's also a question of having to show people, you know, say, show people two or three different type settings, you know, different type styles, you know, and what it looks like, you know, and then if you just point, give them a few pointers, they get it. More often than not, they do get it, you know.
But do your commissions then come directly? Would they come from a design company or from the from the client?
Well, yeah. No, my work is through design agencies, because, I mean, let's face it, you know, type design is so specialist. Yeah. It's always a part of a bigger project, you know, and there is absolutely no point me talking directly to the client, you know, and I think it's much better if the design branding agency controls that, you know, they have then the control over the visual aspects, the expressions, etc., because they, you know, obviously what I do is one part of many parts, you know, and through their guidance, their art direction, you know, I can make my work fit into everything else. And that way, you know, that's how we get our commissions. It could then, certainly what happens is, once we've done the initial work, that if the client wants extensions, say more weights and font styles added or languages added, then they come directly to me, you know, but because then it's a very specific brief, you know, and they already understand what the whole project is all about, you know.
Are you competitive?
I think so, yes, I think so. Actually, I'm not sure if I should say that actually on national radio here, you know, but
international.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry, I apologize. I think, no, I'm working toward world domination. You know, absolutely.
Well, that's good to let the world know.
World domination, you know, absolutely. No, but I am competitive, you know, but not competitive in the sense that, you know, I go and slag off other people's work just so I can get the work, you know, but I'm competitive. It gets me if I'm in a competing situation with someone else, you know, and the other guy gets the job. Yeah, that irks me, you know. I'm very jealous of Christian Schwartz that he did the Guardian job, you know. I'm totally jealous, you know, and because I wanted to do that, you know.
But were you, did you have to compete for that or not?
No. Which makes me, you know, more disappointed. I didn't even get invited, you know, which is really bitter. You know? But no, he did a fantastic job, you know. But yeah, I would have liked to do that, you know, and given the chance, you know, I'd certainly go for it, you know. Absolutely. No, but I'm competitive. Yeah.
Final question?
Okay. Go on. Yeah. Okay, but not final.
Not final? Oh, you go first then. We'll end with that one.
How would you like to be remembered?
Crikey, that's a difficult one. How would I like to be remembered? I think maybe just as a genuine person, you know, someone who has passion, you know, for what they do, what they believe in, and a genuine guy, really, you know. Yeah, you know, in the end of the day, you know, if once I'm dead, you know, what do I care? You know?
Would you do you have a special typeface you would like on your
Comic Sans? FDF?
You said it.
Oh, I know. I just dug my own grave, literally, haven't I?
No, here lies a funny guy. Final question. You did say something about the Dutch before in the interview. What are your views on Dutch design?
I've got to be very careful now. Very careful. You know. No, I think generally. The quality of Dutch design, and I have to talk about type design specifically because that's really what I know best. I think it's very, very high. You know, my problem with it is that everything looks the same. You know, you can spot a Dutch typeface from a mile away. You can see it. It's either The Hague or Rietveld. You know, and it's starting to happen with Reading now as well, and that's obviously Gerard Unger's influence. You know. That is my only criticism on it. You know, I think, you know, Dutch type all looks the same. You know,
I still have one more thing talking about competitive. Is that why you're also, I don't know, that you are very fond of the font fight also? Because you took part. You're current.
Yes. I think so. Yeah. But I also think. I like to think of myself, you know, although competitive, but that I'm not taking myself too serious. You know, I take my work very seriously, but not myself, which is why I'm participating in the font fight and things like that. Because I think if you can't have fun anymore, you know, within your profession and with your colleagues, you know, then I think it's time to get out. Absolutely, you know. And the font fight was, yes, it was about competition, but it was also about fun, you know. And to get the juices flowing a little bit, you know, and to have a bit of a laugh, you know, I think, and with something like the font fight, you know, you can also encourage and include those people who are not directly involved, say, you know, with in the font industry, you know, like graphic designers, you know, because they get to see a different side to the whole industry and to how people think, you know, and it's a fun way to introduce them into that.
Shouldn't we explain what the font fight is then?
Yes, we should. Go on.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
Could you explain what the font fight is?
I'm happy to. Well, the font fight started off, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, it was
May. Last May.
When
it started. Oh, did you do it before you in Tico Berlin?
Yes. It started two years ago in February. That was the first font fight. In London, organized by the Typographic Circle. By the way, Typographic Circle, www.typographiccircle.co.uk, go there, you know, or
this
be square.
This is going to cost you this.
I know. No, but it's a fantastic organization, and they organized the first font fight. and invited, besides myself, invited another four people. And it's the whole premise is that you have four rounds. Each round, each of the participants gets to talk for 3 minutes. And the first round, you introduce a typeface that you like, and you have to kind of introduce why, etc., etc. So it's a fairly genteel, you know, round as well. So everyone does that. And second round is you have to show good usage of the typeface or the way you like to see it used. You know, third round, exact opposite, bad usage of the font. And the fourth round is like, it's a free for all. You can really have a go at each other, you know. And each round, each participant in each round is then judged on the level of noise and applause they get, you know. So it's obviously important that you bring a bit of emotion into it, you know, and try to get the crowd, you know, to please the crowd and to really rope them in, you know. And that's the whole premise of the font fight. And you've got to do it with a twinkle in your eye, you know, otherwise you can't do it, you know. And it's all about making a big show and having a laugh, you know, having a few beers as well and all that. And yes, and I've defeated my opponents soundly, you know.
Who were your opponents?
It was Phil Baines, Ryan Hughes, Jeremy Tankard, and Dave Ferry. Yes, they have no chance. No chance. You know, lightweights. Lightweights, I'd say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk Radio FM. Now we're talking.